This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, exploring local, state, and national issues that impact East Texas.
Well, hello, East Texas. Welcome once again to In Focus. I'm Jeff Rourke here with my friend Melissa Kaiser. She and I do the morning news each weekday from 6 to 8 a.m. And in studio with us once again is KTBB owner and general manager Paul Gleiser. Good morning, all.
Good morning, Jeff.
Morning.
So let's start off with a foreign policy overview, or whatever you want to call it. More bombing in Iran.
Yeah, and I hate that, and I was actually, I hate it, and at the same time, I'm on record as saying I thought it was probably going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, for a while there, it looked like maybe, you know, getting the absolute sand pounded out of you might have, you know, brought the Iranians, whoever's running that country, to their senses. Apparently, it hasn't. Apparently, they don't care what happens to their own people, mm-hmm. as long as they're protected and as long as they get to live, and it's horrendous. But the job got started. Now it has to get finished. Mm-hmm. And what we do not want is the long slog of Afghanistan, you know, the quagmire that Iraq turned into. Mm-hmm. You know, finish the job. And so you started it. Let's finish it. And I hope that happens.
This week, we heard VP Vance basically say that the White House is not ruling out ground troops possibly in the future. What do you think, MK? If you were to come up with the rules of engagement, what would they be?
I know people have been waiting to hear from me about this topic. I know they have. Rules of engagement, just fight everybody all the time.
That's right.
I don't know. I would like to see peace somewhere. I mean, yeah. I really would. And I know people would appreciate lower gas prices as well, because it seems like every bomb that drops that, you know, the gas prices go up just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. But this sword of Damocles has been hanging over the Western world, the developed world, the civilized world. It's been hanging over us for nearly a half century.
And we can't afford for that sword to be nuclear.
No, we absolutely can't afford to be nuclear. And it should have been dealt with 45 years ago, mm-hmm. 47 years ago. Yeah. If we finish the job, if we do whatever it has to be done to finish the job, mm-hmm. we will find two things are true. One, gas prices won't be a problem anymore. And number two, the rest of the world will move in the direction of the United States.
Respect us.
And that will pay off in all kinds of ways, not the least of which are economic.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if we get through the midterms and the results go the GOP's way and this still isn't resolved, Paul, do you think we're going to see ground troops at that point?
Well, the likelihood goes up because mm-hmm. the cost goes down, the political cost goes down. So, yeah, I think that's possible. And I don't want another, you know, 20-year commitment of ground troops in some stinking hole in the Middle East. I don't want that anymore. But I'm going to come right back to, you started this. Mm-hmm. What we don't want is Korea. What we don't want is more unfinished business that hangs around and costs us blood and treasure for another generation.
You know, you say we started this. You could argue that we started this back in the 50s with Mossadegh and all that. And I wonder now if we couldn't just simply extract our troops at some point and say, okay, here's the bottom line. You will never, ever have a nuclear weapon. Do with that what you will, but you will never have a nuclear weapon. Don't make us come back here.
Yeah, well, it sounds like my mother. Don't make me come in there.
Yeah.
Don't make me turn the car around.
You come back in this room.
That's right.
I don't know. I think the risk of that is that the Iranians will do what they do, and they having seen what can happen, they will establish de facto control over the Strait of Hormuz. I don't think that'll work. I think you got to. It's now or never.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, talking about this whole idea of the world respecting America, on the other end of that spectrum, the non-military spectrum, we saw some amazing videos, Missy, during the World Cup, which is about to be over this weekend. Mm-hmm. But we've seen a ton of great videos of people from Sweden and Germany and France coming over trying barbecue and cowboy boots and all that. What do you think? Good PR?
I'm still watching those videos.
Me too.
There are people that are actually staying over here and going on in Louisiana on these wind boats for the first time.
Yes.
Fan boats or whatever they're called.
Airboats.
Thank you. Yeah. I was going to get there. It's been fascinating. And it's really, they're just highlighting all the things we take for granted, I think.
And they're realizing that they've been lied to by their own media for their entire lives.
I wonder if maybe we can get some of our own citizens to go and you know, visit Bucky's and Bass Pro and everything else.
Well, but we take all of that for granted.
We do.
You know,
sure
we
do.
So we say, we do. And then make ourselves feel better, you know, given our the wealth to which we are born, mm-hmm. make ourselves feel better that somebody else created that wealth and we're living off of it mm-hmm. by running the country down and pointing out all of our faults and our failures. It creates a sense of moral superiority in people who can't create their own superiority.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for people who have never lived without what we live with to appreciate what it's like for somebody who hasn't had it.
Absolutely. I agree.
And I would love to find one of these perfect countries somewhere on the globe that has done everything right. Yeah.
I would too, but I guarantee you if that country existed, it wouldn't have open borders.
That's true.
I would just like to throw this out there before we move on from this topic. And you're trying to introduce a news hound into our lives, you know.
Yeah, where the KTBB news hound, and it fell flat on its face.
No, but I will dress up as a dog, and I will go to Buc-ee's, and I will do a food review. I will review every food at Buc-ee's. I would love to volunteer for that job. I'd
Beaver
do that.
Nuggets and barbecue.
Here
Let's
we
do
go.
It, right?
We have been fudge. Don't forget the fudge.
But think about the miracle that Buc-ee's is.
Absolutely.
You know, it's become a little bit of a cliche, and it's, you know, we laugh about it. But you, where else in the world could you have created a Buc-ee's?
Yeah.
I mean, and to be such a massive success, have
right.
you ever been in a Buc-ee's that wasn't crowded?
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
And let's be honest. We love the Beaver Nuggets, the barbecue, yeah. the salads,
yes.
all that stuff. We all know the main reason why Buc-ee's is
bathrooms.
So crowded. The bathrooms.
The bathrooms are the best.
500 clean bathrooms.
I've never taken so many selfies in a bathroom in my life.
Listen, and the fact that in this country somebody can say, I've got a great idea. Let's build a truck stop that doesn't allow trucks that has clean bathrooms.
Yeah.
And sell barbecue.
Yeah. Sells barbecue. It's a truck stop that doesn't allow trucks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And has spotlessly clean bathrooms. You think it'll work? Let's commit millions of dollars to that and see if it'll work. And in America, you can do that.
That's right.
What's it cost to put in a Buc-ee's store? Probably $7-10 million.
Something like that. I'm sure the main plumbing outlet is probably at least.
look at that success, and it could have flopped.
It didn't.
It worked beautifully. Yeah. Well, and it's caused a whole bunch of places up and down the side of the road to clean up their act.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Not so grungy anymore.
Yeah. That's right. And when a Buc-ee's takes place, then here comes the TJ Maxx, the Marshalls, the Ross.
The Starbucks across the street.
The clusters right next door. Absolutely.
It's what they tell you is going to happen when they build a stadium.
Yeah.
Actually happens when you build a Buc-ee's.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right.
Everything comes up around it.
And yes. No taxpayer funding.
Buc-ee's in Terrell's got this killer car wash. It's got,
yep.
mm-hmm. got movie theater.
It is like a disco car wash.
It's got all this great stuff that popped up around the Buc-ee's.
Yep,
well, you
right.
know, the Buc-ee's in Katy has the world's longest car wash.
Is that right?
Yeah, we did a trivia question about that one time. So.
Okay.
You
guys should do the morning show from there one day.
Hey.
We should do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay.
We're sitting here having fun. What Buc-ee's tells you is that it validates the economic miracle that is the United States.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then the freedom here to take a huge risk and reap the rewards from having taken that risk.
That's
or
right.
if you fail, stand up, dust yourself off, and start all over again.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, create a place where you can buy T-shirts, pajamas, tools, cast iron cookware, and a talking fish.
And a deer feeder.
Chocolate-covered lug nuts. And
chocolate-covered lug nuts.
Those,
you know, just the stuff that you never thought of. You go, that's cool.
That's right.
It is cool.
I love it. And I think this has been massive PR for the U.S. And I think
it has, too.
Yeah. I think that the Republicans could literally just run those videos as their campaign ads this fall and win all the elections.
And that would be brilliant.
Absolutely.
Which means the Republicans probably won't do it.
Yeah. Probably.
But, you know, get me started on that. But, you know, it is testament to what a great nation we have with all of our faults admitted.
Yes.
Absolutely.
With everything that we get wrong and all of our human sins fully admitted to, all of what we get right.
Yeah.
And have you seen the sign in front, since we're dwelling on Buc-ee's, have you seen the sign in front of Buc-ee's and what they're offering if you come to work?
Hmm.
You know, the recruiting, the hiring thing?
No. No.
Well,
should you be telling us this right now?
Yeah, let's have it. What is it?
Maybe not. You know, what do you think a Buc-ee's general manager makes?
I can't imagine.
Are we talking hourly or salary?
Salary in that
72?
Case.
72?
Quarter million.
Wow.
Quarter million.
Wow. Quarter million bucks.
And
yeah.
You know you can eat all the barbecue you can eat.
There you go.
Honestly, there's major perks.
What they're offering, you pay so much for government-mandated minimum wage.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
The minimum wage is set forth by the economic success of the enterprise for which you work. Oh, what a concept.
Yeah, what a concept. Wow, there we go.
Wait, that's amazing.
Yeah,
a quarter million bucks.
What are we doing with our mornings, Melissa?
I don't know, but I tell you what, they're probably not just taking anybody who applies. Yeah. You know?
Well, listen, I think we're cream of the crop over here, Mr.
Yes, we are.
I apologize, but still.
I'm not sure I qualify to be the Bucky's general manager.
Well, listen, I'm not sure if this is cream of the crop, but the big story this week, Senator Lindsey Graham's passing, age 71. He died last Saturday. Among the many plaudits that have been heaped on him this week, I was really surprised by one thing that I heard, and that is that at his death, he had a net worth of $1.4 million. Now, I will not mention a name. We know there's at least one congresswoman who was $45,000 in debt when she joined Congress in 2019.
Oh,
and now
ahead.
Has a,
you say it.
Now has a net worth of $30 million.
Just say the initials.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a net worth of $1.4 million is not nothing, but it's not extraordinary.
Right.
It's not. And when you make, what is it, $172,000 a year, that's certainly accountable to that. You know?
Yeah, I know. It means he owns a house that he paid, you know, $200,000 for. That's worth a whole lot more than that because he just got inflated.
Yeah, and obviously did not avail himself of all of
what he could have availed himself of.
So
actually a humble servant.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing to know that those still exist in our system, which, I mean, we all know is corrupted sometimes. And, I mean, not necessarily blaming either party. Obviously, both are part of that, party to that. But it's astonishing to me in this day and age to get a good news story like that when someone passes.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, $1.4 million.
Well, my respect for a man that I already greatly respected just shot up another notch.
Absolutely.
If he's worth basically what he's accumulated in savings and the price of his house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's no different than, you know, I'm looking out here out the window of the studio at people that are worth houses, people inside that are worth $1.4 million.
Sure,
It's not nothing, but it's not extraordinary.
Right.
Yeah. Now, some pretty snarky, and you and I love the word snarky. We love that whole concept. But some pretty nasty stuff said on the other side of the aisle about Lindsey Graham this week, college professors saying, you know, things like rest in hell and stuff like that.
Comedians
going after him, politicians, beyond the pale.
It's disgusting, and it really is disgusting. Yeah. It's almost like a race to who can, you know, insult whoever the first. I mean, I don't know. It's really obnoxious, and I hate it. I don't like that.
It's all an attempt to win the race to the summit of Mount Clickmore.
You're right.
Mount
Clickmore. Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to say, I think, but I'm not.
You know, say something as outrageous as you can to get clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the great downsides of our social media addiction. It has coarsened the discourse. The man served, whether you agree with his policy or not, he served with honor.
Mm-hmm.
And just for a minute, just say rest in peace.
Yeah.
Just for a minute, the man did his job and died suddenly, and his family certainly has to be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And give the man a decent funeral.
Yeah,
you know,
at some point we have to be human.
You did not hear anything snarky come out of rock-ribbed conservative Paul Gleiser's mouth when Jimmy Carter died.
Sure, mm-hmm, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would not have done that. My mother raised me better than that.
Mm-hmm.
My mother would have risen from her grave if I had.
Right.
And so, no, just please. And you want us to take you seriously, you want us to take you seriously as who should be governing the nation.
Sure, yeah, right.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned Carter. I mean, obviously, all of us in this room probably disagreed with about 80% of his policies, if not more. But yet, there's no argument. He was one of the classiest and best human beings ever.
He was a decent man. Although there's stories about he was mean and he treated staff terribly. There's some stuff that came out, but his life was still on balance the life of a good man
mm-hmm.
who I think truly believed he was trying to help.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of help, we have some Supreme Court justices asking for it this week in front of Congress. Justices Coney Barrett and Kagan appeared this week before the House, and they're asking for increased security for members of the court. Mm-hmm. We've all seen the videos, protesters in the streets, waving placards, throwing things at their houses. And
swatting.
Swatting them. A couple of cases of actual physical threats.
Right.
Kind of on par with what we were talking about here. We're in a new age now.
Well, if you're among the, let's assume that in order to be even considered for a spot as a justice on the Supreme Court of the United States, that you need to be among the best and the brightest.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's not necessarily the case, but yeah. Broadly speaking, it is the case.
You don't have to be able to define a woman.
Yeah, boy, yeah. Yeah, but let's assume that's nominally over the course of the history of the court, it's among the best and brightest legal minds in the country are who gets considered for that job. If you're among the best and the brightest, then that means you have all kinds of options on what you do in
right.
your career. Why would you choose the one that gets people camped out in your front yard and yeah. threatens you physically and threatens your children, mm-hmm. and where your wife or your spouse can't safely go to the grocery store? Why would you choose that?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so we then get self exclusion by the best and the brightest from those jobs where we need the best and the brightest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are people that can't hide, obviously, when they're in high visibility roles like that, whether you're a politician, a judge, a CEO, an actor, a sports star, whatever. Mm-hmm. You live your life in an increasingly small fishbowl. I mean,
yeah.
you're constantly under the spotlight. But that's becoming more and more true, I think, of all of us in this modern age. You and I, Melissa, were talking this week about the flock cameras and
yes.
drones and all that.
Right.
A lot more to come on this subject in the weeks to come as more details are revealed. But we're getting spied on. It's not as bad as Europe, in particular Britain right now, but mm-hmm. it's getting bad.
Right. You know, Mr. Glasser, have you ever been concerned for your safety?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear it. Anything in particular stand out? I mean, I'm very curious. I never have. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think of myself in a certain way.
Yeah.
One time here, and I won't say at which dining establishment, a guy got in my face mm-hmm. over something I had said on the air.
Okay.
And I was trying to be very polite. There's people around me. I mean, I'm, what I say and how I react is going to be seen and reported.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
And so I'm being very, very careful. And nothing I said to this guy I couldn't get him to disengage.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept getting more and more belligerent. And he started, you know, kind of getting in my grill. And I finally decided to go eat someplace else.
Okay.
But I just said, I'm sorry, I don't want to argue with you, and I hope you have a good day. And I turned around and walked out. But I think if I'd let that go on, I think he wanted to hit me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Over politics.
Over things I'd said here on the sitting in that chair talking into that microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. One time.
Okay. One time.
That's good. That's a pretty good record. I think that's a pretty good record.
I went to go get lunch, and a guy that just clearly hated me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was so, you could tell he was excited that he bumped into me in public.
Yeah.
And he just said, this is cool. I get to straighten this guy out.
I think that, in my opinion on this, the beauty of radio is I kind of fly under the radar, you know, so I can go out in public and people don't know who I am. And I'm not saying I'm going out there to act up, because I never would. It's a reflection on the station. My behavior is a reflection on the station. That's why I don't post things on social media. It is a direct reflection back to the station, and I would never disrespect the station.
And you are greatly appreciated for that.
Well, thank you. But I mean, that's constantly running through my head.
Yeah.
Because
but we are to the, whether we want to be or not, we've taken on a role of public trust.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we need to respect that. And mm-hmm. it's what puts food on our table, and it's what gives our lives purpose.
Yes.
And so we need to be properly respectful of the role that we occupy in our local society here.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I say to people all the time, I can't get angry at a store clerk, even if they deserve the anger, because
yes.
I'm going to be
somebody's going to post
absolutely.
On it.
Yeah, I followed you around for a while looking for you to do stuff like that, and it didn't happen.
It never worked. It was very disappointing. Plus, that long range lens gets really heavy after a while.
It's very awkward.
Well, the bigger picture is this: our civil discourse is less civil mm-hmm. than in any time in my now decades-long life.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm going to say how many decades on the radio.
But you say it.
More than a few.
More than a few,
this is
yeah.
Like a confessional.
Well, listen, this is a pretty handy transition here. Talking about working on the radio.
Yes.
There's a word that I can't use that's becoming very popular right now. Can't use that word on the radio. We'll call it encrapification. How about that?
Okay.
The encrapification of the modern world.
Huh.
And this sort of ties back into the whole digital thing. You know, we have cars, phones, TVs that are capturing our data. The makers are selling this data. It's on a server farm somewhere waiting for someone to push us ads and mm-hmm. things like that. We have cars and trucks that are made of plastic. They cost twice as much as they used to. They're falling apart. Something like 3.5 million vehicles in the U.S. right now under recall. Everything's more expensive. Everything lasts less time. Someone said the word I can't say, the encrapification of America. Things have gotten bad in that regard. Do you guys see it that way? Like in this age of passwords and data and streaming and social media and all that, is life better today with all the digital technology that we have than it was for us Gen Xers and late boomers when we were growing up and popping the tops off of Coke bottles?
I'm doing things that I never dreamed I could do, and mm-hmm. I think it's cool as hell.
Yeah.
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 On the other hand, we're all paying a huge price for that.
Yes, we
it's
are.
True.
Yeah. You know, and I've given up on my privacy. I've just said, there's nothing, you know, they own me, and I can't stop it.
Yeah.
I'm just giving
it's
up.
It's true, yeah.
I've become fatalistic about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but I mean, we do amazing things that we couldn't do that mm-hmm. we thought would be cool. It mm-hmm. would, you know, did anybody do you remember Dick Tracy?
Sure, yeah.
For the wrist radio?
Absolutely.
I'm wearing one.
Or yeah. Maxwell Smart
Maxwell
with the
Smart, yeah, you know, the
stuff,
phone.
The watch phone.
Oh. Stuff that well, yeah, the stuff that we can do now yeah. that we now take for granted that's absolutely miraculous.
Yes.
And you and I are old hand audio editors from the days of tape and the razor blades.
And razor blades.
We can mm-hmm. do more now in 30 minutes than we could do in a whole day.
Sure.
In those days.
Yeah. You know, and for all of that, I am extremely grateful.
Yeah.
Right.
And a whole lot of what we do here is possible here in a radio station in Tyler, Texas. You had to be in a top 10 market to be able to do it mm-hmm. because you simply couldn't afford the capital expenditure for the technology.
Yeah.
I've gone to 3 papal conclaves, mm-hmm. stood on St. Peter's Square, talked to you live on the air,
mm-hmm.
covered and done video on the live on radio, live on TV,
mm-hmm.
Multimedia mm-hmm. with equipment that I would fit in my carry-on.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, you know, a papal conclave, you had to shoot the film, fly it to New York, get it processed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in order to put it on the air on the CBS television network, I can sure. now do with literally the device in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all wonderful.
Yes. Yeah.
That's all spectacular, but we're paying a price.
We are paying a price. Yeah.
And one of them is our kids can't talk to each other. They can't read.
They can't fix anything.
They can't fix anything.
1,000,000%.
They can't compose a declarative English sentence.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And my wife is watching my wife teaches college at SMU. My wife's watching the quality of students tick down by the year.
Wow. That's sad. Yeah.
Each incoming class is worse than the one before.
Yeah, I can see that. A lot of kids have mental problems that we didn't have when we were growing up.
True.
You know,
that's
I mean,
true.
Big time. And their social anxiety.
Yeah.
A lot of kids don't want to get their driver's license. They want to stay home. They want to stay home and game all day.
That is one that shocked me with my kids and their friends when they were in high school. I was amazed at how few of them rushed out to get their driver's license at 16.
I was still in cars at 12.
I was begging for the hardship license when I was 15.
I was all over it.
Oh,
absolutely. Out and of here.
The first car that I had, one of the first things I did was take it apart. I wanted to.
My deal was I just wanted the freedom to get me out of here.
Yes, that's right. You know?
Well, listen, speaking of getting me out of here, some more good news, right?
Okay.
We might be getting out of daylight saving time or the constant clock switch.
Okay.
So, Melissa, that's at least 2 days of the year now. You and I won't be late.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're still going to be late regardless. They can pass all the laws they want. We are going to be late, but I don't know. Does it really affect anything?
Yeah.
I don't know that it affects
It affects KTBB AM 600 in a huge way.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
If we go to daylight saving time permanent, if we set the clocks forward and never set them back, we will not go to daytime power in the winter on KTBB AM until 8:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Wow.
That's a problem.
Problem.
Yeah.
Because that means 40% of the market won't be able to hear us.
Yeah.
And we're 97.5 and we're streaming. So it's not as big a problem as it would have been, but it will. There's legislation in front of Congress right now to make sure that AM radio is available in the car going forward. Mm-hmm. It kneecaps a whole lot of AM radio broadcasters. So from a purely secular point of view, I'm like, I'm not sure I'm 100% on board with this.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, my economic interests. I don't. If I still had a little girl in elementary school, I don't want to be taking her to school in the dark.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that would be, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
But one thing that I deal with now is trying to go to bed to get here at the time that we do in the morning, trying to go to bed
outside.
Early enough, and it's light outside.
Right.
My dog's howling at the neighbor's dog and all that. I'm going, shut up. You know,
your neighbors are still mowing the lawn at that point.
They're mowing the lawn.
Basically.
Yeah.
I get it.
I have a neighbor who likes to mow the grass with his headlights on his mower because that's just cool as hell.
Yeah.
And, of course, when he makes one of the turns repeatedly, that headlight shines right in my window.
Blackout curtains, Jeff, how come you haven't taken care of that? That's on you, really.
That's one more thing to install in my house.
But let's go back to the original purpose of daylight saving time. The purpose of daylight saving time is in the summer when the number of hours of daylight hours was at its greatest. Mm-hmm. Just make maximum use of those daylight hours, not waste them very, very early in the morning.
That's right.
Put them at the end of the day where people can make more use of them. Mm-hmm. That was the intent.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a pretty good idea.
It is.
And, you know, we've done it for a long time. And it's
over 100 years now.
And I don't know. Are you guys badly affected by the switch?
No, I'm not.
I'm not
a fan of leaving things like they are.
I'm not gobsmacked by the need to change the clock by an hour twice a year.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, and now,
with the Apple
now
phone.
Anymore, I only have one clock in the whole house that I have to actually reset. All the rest of them set themselves.
That's right.
That's good.
So it's not a great burden to me.
That's true.
To leave it the way it is.
It's a first world problem.
It is. Absolutely.
You're right. Yeah, that's a good way to put that. Yes.
Well, listen, midterms going on this year. Both parties want to capture both houses, prepare themselves for the White House at the next election. Let me ask you here, would either of you consider running for office at some point?
I ran for office one time. I ran for school board in Highland Park.
Nice.
I realized about, I don't know, 25 seconds after I filed what a huge mistake I had made.
Yeah, okay.
Suddenly I've got everybody and their cousins calling me they have their own agenda.
It didn't
take but a second. You may remember the Cassius Clay before he was Muhammad Ali, Sonny Liston fight, where Sonny Liston in like round 7 just didn't get up off the stool when the bell rang. That's what I did in my campaign.
Nice.
I just didn't stand up.
So this didn't end well. No, it didn't end well.
So I respect people who are running for public office for the right reasons.
Yes.
Too many are running because it's the only quote-unquote respectable work they can get.
Yes.
It's the only thing where they can wear a suit and, and look respectable and not have to produce anything of value.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a lot of that in Congress and a lot of that. They just want the perks and power, and they don't really want to do the hard work of making the city or the county or the state or the country better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I ran for public office one time and came to understand that that's not my deal. I'm pleased when people come to me and say, because they hear me on the radio and they like what I say. Mm-hmm. You need to run for Congress. I said, I'm not taking the pay cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that is high praise, though. That's nice.
It is,
yeah.
It's nice to hear, but the fact is I'd be right terrible at it.
Second grade, I ran for student council, and the slogan still follows me around, don't be a sissy, vote for Missy. And
nice.
I love that.
My mother came up with that, and it's still, I went to my class reunion, and it followed me around.
I need that bumper sticker.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Now, I didn't win, which is good. It worked out like it was supposed to. You know, I wouldn't have had a clue what I was doing. But
so about 30 seconds left. If you were president tomorrow, what's your first agenda item that you
would... We've got to solve this explosive diarrhea issue.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Wow.
Where are we going now?
Yeah. Okay. Let's finish with this. With all these folks over here buying American clothes and food and stuff, real quickly, what is your favorite American item of clothing that's made its way around the world?
Well, listen, I think the soccer player, this is not an item of clothing, but the stuffed raccoon that went back home.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite.
Okay, we give a pass on that one. How about you?
Oh, there's no question. Blue jeans.
Blue jeans, absolutely.
There's just no question.
Yeah.
Because they're everywhere in the world now. Blue jeans.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, that's a great answer, and I think we're going to leave it right there on InFocus. Folks, thank you so much for joining us this week. We will see you next time.
InFocus is a weekly public affairs program exploring local, state, and national issues that impact East Texas. InFocus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. We thank you for listening. Join us again next week.